Hi guys, welcome to episode
211.
211, thank you. Of the Road to 30 podcast. Isaac here.
Dolly here.
Oshé, welcome back.
Yeah.
So today is first of all, I want to say shout out to all of you guys that enjoyed last week's episode.
Yes, so.
And for full disclosure, I do not know Korede's relationship status.
You should ask him now.
I told him, like, bro, please tell me what to tell these people because people are disturbing me.
What did he say?
He just didn't answer. And yeah, guys, so I don't know because you saw people in our DMs and stuff. So some people message me, I'm like, guys, I have no idea. So please, go and do your own research. Shoot your shot. If you catch it, if you don't catch it.
But ask him first if you have someone that can fight.
But I mean, write into us if they don't answer you. That would be lovely. I want to hear that story. But yeah, it was an interesting one last week.
Yeah, it was really nice. And Korede has great energy.
Yeah. So he has gone back. He has left us here now. It's life. Chai.
He's beautiful.
And everything seems to be falling apart. Chai.
Oh, my Niger.
Vibes. I know, right?
It's well.
It is. I saw this guy this morning, Burna Boy.
You saw him this morning?
Yeah, this morning.
Where?
Yeah. VI.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. I saw him. Now, I have a question. Why do our celebrities feel the need to drive around with 7-car convoys?
I don't know.
So, there was a Hilux. Then there was a Range. Then there was Burna's Lambo. So how I knew it was him was I saw the Hilux and the Range. Then I saw the purple Lambos, right? So he was in the smaller one and like his driver or somebody was in the Euros. First of all, that car is sexy as fuck. Like, and I caught him just when they were driving, like they had the traffic light hit green. So I saw like the acceleration and I wanted to die. Like, it's different watching that thing on YouTube and seeing all these people with fancy cars.
Yeah, but I saw it
and I was like, God in heaven. Like, even the cars in front couldn't actually keep up. And I was like,
right,
bro.
That is so crazy.
Bro.
I mean, I would say that I like Burna's music, you know, but I would just in his defense, I would say that probably because of the nature of how like Nigeria is and stuff, it's probably best security wise.
Yeah, I get it. But
it's a lot. It's overkill.
Now. Yeah, because there were two in front, then his two Lambos, then there were three at the back.
If one or two probably be better.
But are we to?
But again, like it's probably best because sometimes you even still see like celebrities. Well, it happens to everybody, so it'll touch everybody. That's the truth. And one can still get harassed. And so it's just probably best to just have
a
security.
No, but the whole thing looked very nice to see though. Like and then the cars. Like I was just like,
I'm
first
happy
of
for
all,
him, you know.
He has two purple Lamborghinis in Lagos. Why?
I mean, I'm happy for him. You know, I'm not the biggest I don't know Burna Boy personally, but I'm not always like a fan of some of the
theatrics.
there's a lot I can say there, but I am very happy for him. I feel like he works very hard.
He has worked very hard to get to where he is,
and you can't deny that. And when you just said that, it reminded me of when I was, this was like probably 2011. We had just finished from secondary school. I was in Port Harcourt, and I went to, that time was when Burna Boy's song, I Beg, I Beg, I Beg.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've shared this already on the pod before, probably, but he was, that it was just making waves in PH at the time. That was how I got introduced to Burna through that song.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Genesis, you know, the cinema.
Yeah. I remember that place. That was shit.
And I was leaving.
Yeah.
I was in the car and he was like, I was in the car and he was right in front of me, but it wasn't his face. It was just his back. But like, I could, like, if I stretch out my hand,
you
I could
touch him. Yeah.
I remember exactly what he was wearing. He was wearing like a black t-shirt with like a black vest.
Yeah.
And like black jeans and stuff. And yeah, I remember. And the person I was with was like, oh, that's Burna. Because I think that my friend then, she's like, I think she knows his sister and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, that's Burna. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know,
before the money.
This was before anything. And so she now see that from a person who is standing just in front of Genesis you know, so now, standing there. So now he has to have the security. Guy,
I won't lie. Like
the journey makes sense.
It makes sense. And it was really nice to see today. Because I was like, bro, man, like those two cars alone, like, that's like...
I'm happy for him. I can't lie.
But at the same time, you're still speeding on Lekki Express. So there's only so much you can do.
Not to get knocked at that point.
Exactly. Like there's only so much you can do.
There's only so much, especially when there's not traffic.
Exactly. It was interesting.
It's cool.
It was good.
Cool.
It was good. That was kind of the highlight of my day.
How was your week generally?
Okay. So I have to go first.
You've already started.
I spent my week watching TikTok, reading articles, and on YouTube. So I fell down the rabbit hole of YouTube this week, which was very interesting because I found that there's a community for almost everything.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, so what the community I'm now part of is the Bleach, what's it called, reviews? Not reviews, like, so there are these people who read the animes and it's like a community where somebody just comes and analyzes fights and talks about the differences between the anime and stuff. So this guy called Mr. Tomo, DBZ, Imran. And when I, like, you know the thing with YouTube, you watch one, then it suggests more. So when I started with Mr. Tomo, I was like, bro, this guy has like thousands, like there's a genuine community here.
Yes.
And then I was reading the comments and I'm like, Then I saw some other ones and I was like, wow. Then I saw people who, what their content is basically watch alongs. So like they watch the actual anime and then reacting in real time.
It's so crazy.
And I'm like, how is this a thing?
It's so crazy that you said that because I watch reviews on YouTube. I watch like people review. I first of all started by watching like people review like my reality shows, like The Real Housewives. So a lot of people I've been watching, like that woman that I always tell you in the car.
I've
been watching her for like so long, over 10 years now. Yeah. She reviews shows. Then, and I started watching reactions to like music videos because I like that.
Yeah.
Then I suddenly recently, I would say like in the last month or two, discovered the reacting to certain TV shows. Isaac?
No, those ones I also saw.
I did not know that there was a whole, like, and it just amazes you the kind of world you get opened up to get on YouTube like that.
Do you know after that, I fell into this bucket of people who, they review like studio equipment, right? Okay. Then I met this couple. I can't remember their names. Basically, what they do is like they have a house and they turn the house into a studio. And in the studio, they have like six different studios within the studio. And then there was that content. Then from them, I ended up watching somebody who basically just, he talks about paint and the best type of construction paints to you, like, for some. And I was thinking, and each of these people had like thousands of followers. There, and I was like,
there is actually everything. That's why, like, when you discover like your own thing,
it's crazy. Then I saw a guy who reviews perfumes.
People do that, yeah.
This one was mad because I'm like, what? Then from him, I saw like there's a lady, this Russian lady as well, that reviews perfumes. I think she's like the biggest perfume reviewer. And I'm like, how is this a thing?
People review perfume, people review candles.
Yes.
People review like all kinds of
things. I ended up on Watch Talk, which is TikTok for watches. So basically, there's this guy, you know John Mayer? You don't know him? He's a musician. Yeah. So apparently he's a big Rolex guy.
Oh, okay.
So he was, there was this video he did with Ed Sheeran, who turns out to be one of like a great watch collector. He has like one of one Patek Philippe's. And I'm just there like, how do you end up here? And then from there, I ended up on Watch Talk. Bro, like, this one, it was even now on TikTok. Like, so that was basically it. I spent it. Then I ended up on something I wanted to talk about later, which was an article that talked about how friendships and money and how like that dynamic is now being managed. So I'll talk about that later on.
So let me ask you, your time spent on all these videos, what's your greatest lesson that you picked up from it?
Two lessons, actually. One is that there's a space on the internet for everybody. Find it and grow it. Like, you'll be absolutely surprised what people want to see, right? Because everybody has the internet is increasing. Think about the number of people, and then attention span can be shared. I can like a podcast but also like watching people paint. So there's a lot there. So that was one thing I learned. Yeah. And then the other thing I learned was, really and truly, right, the age of content is just starting. It's actually just starting. Right? Because there are so many people that are still like nervous and worried that is there somebody out that there for to... But trust me, the age of content is just starting.
If you like something, if you are interested in something, guaranteed, like there are probably a whole lot of other people, because people share interest a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like something, no matter how weird it is, there's somebody. There's probably about 10,000 people.
Facts, or even more,
like it as you, as the same as you. You know,
yeah.
Because even me, when I watch all these like reviews of like TV shows and stuff, you'll be amazed to see how many people are watching and are subscribed. And it's like,
as in when I see some people,
so you guys like this kind of thing, like
and then you just check some random guy you've never heard of, and he has like 400,000 subs, and he's talking about how he's like making money on Patreon, and you're like, huh?
I love YouTube. I'm even gonna.
I think YouTube edges Netflix. I think it does. Because on Netflix...
Because there's a lot, Sha.
Yeah, and also because this might be a bigger conversation, right? Mm. I think there is this thing that makes us humans more relatable as opposed to scripted content. Like, I watch YouTube, Netflix, and I know this is a movie. This is out of reach.
Yes.
But I watch YouTube, and I'm like, I feel like I know you.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I can do this. I understand so what you there's mean. That human stuff
I understand
there.
What you mean. I might even want to, because I've been thinking, it's just that, like, to start up something is just, like, it's a lot to get your head into.
And then we don't have lights.
But like, I've been wanting to, like, review, like, books and stuff.
Okay, that won't be bad.
Or like, I don't know, stuff that I'm watching or whatever. Just on my TikTok though. I don't know. I don't know when that will start, but we'll see.
Okay.
So, anyway,
yeah, I think that was the highlight of my week. How was yours?
How was my week? My week was fine.
Okay.
My week was good. It was, I'm trying to like recall. It went, so this probably was the most stable week I've had this month, because this month was just a whole lot for me. It was a whole lot.
Mm.
But this week was pretty stable. I was able to get like quite a number of things done. I think one of the things that helped me a lot was, because I think I mentioned before on the pod about how much of a structured person I am and routine, and I have to follow a certain way, but I'm trying to embrace the day not going according to plan.
Okay. Element of chaos.
Yeah, I'm trying to embrace it, because I think that when you embrace it that way, it's just easier to just like accept that, you know what, maybe this was the way it was supposed to go anyway, as opposed to like getting upset that it did not go the way you wanted it to go.
Mm.
So there have been some days when like it just did not end up as I wanted, but I mean, I just like have received it and embraced it as it is. So that's what I'm trying to do, just believing that God is just... He has. I always pray that, God, I just trust in your plans. Just do you. You feel me? Also, I've been dreaming. I mean, I've always dreamt, of course, but I think I remember my dreams a lot lately. And I feel like I've been getting like, it's so weird, but I feel like I've been getting information.
Oh.
Yeah, like just stuff. Like I just would dream of something and it would like happen, or
we say prophetess.
I don't even know. I won't even call it that, because I don't think that it has happened enough to be able to even say that yet. But
maybe you're just recognizing patterns now.
I mean, I don't know. It's like stuff that like is random.
Yeah.
Like it's like the most random thing, and it would just like happen, and I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. So because of that, now I become more like, when I have certain dreams, I just start being very more conscious about praying about certain things, because some things that I've seen are a bit scary, but I've just been more aware that, okay, I need to be more prayerful about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this week was also, I got, you guys, I'll tell you guys about that later, but yeah, something that I was waiting for, I received.
Oh, yeah.
And that made me very, very happy, because I was actually pretty nervous.
I was actually very happy for you too.
Thank you.
Yes, now it gives me hope.
I was that I will not get it. But it was also one of the things I saw in my dream, actually. I had seen it a couple of days before. I saw it.
That was like the dreamer.
And I was like, okay. It gave me a bit of relief.
At this point, I need to get you like a multicolored coat.
That is hilarious.
That's right, D-T-H.
That is hilarious. Okay, not you even saying that, it reminded me of something. And this is like, Okay, well, I'm not trying to preach you. I'm just saying.
Tell me.
So I was listening to like a podcast actually.
Oh, okay.
And they randomly, it's like a Christian podcast, but they mentioned about the guy had like a young Gen Z babe on, and she was just talking about how like sometimes like youth groups and youth churches like put a lot of pressure like on young people in the sense that like, if a person is in a youth group, it's almost emphasized that, oh, they must go in like this certain direction, like maybe leading a church group or something like that. And sometimes it can put a lot of extra pressure on young people because then they now feel this need that maybe I should do this, even if maybe they just want to be teachers or they just want to be whatever. And so the guy was like, yeah, that he agrees that it's true, that it's not everybody's life that is supposed to go this particular kind of way.
Okay.
Some people are supposed to be doctors, teachers, whatever. And then he mentioned about when God says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he mentioned Isaac, right?
Yeah.
Now, Abraham, we know the amazing situation that was there. Jacob, we know all that came from that. But then there's Isaac in the middle, who was the promised child. But then all we know about him was that he got married, he had twins.
Yeah.
Then he died.
Wow.
but he is still referred to God says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because he was the intermediary. He's the children came from him. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And his own thing was to be a father.
Mm.
And what that made me think about is how, like, in life, everybody's calling is not to be like a...
True. Facts.
Some people are called to be parents. It might sound like the most, but it's true. And we sometimes, we because of how we as human beings are,
yeah.
people like this hierarchy on certain professions.
Some people,
if you're a housewife, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are this, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Some people even want to make you feel like, are you even really doing something with your life? But no, some people are not supposed to be, some people might not be Elon Musk, but they'll be the ones that birth Elon.
Well, facts. Actually, I get that. I think generally we as people, we look down on certain occupations. You know, sometimes, right? I don't know if we've had that conversation before where it's like, I was listening to somebody who was talking about how, you know, when she wants to, if someone comes to visit her and she wants to introduce like her staff, there was always this thing with her saying, oh, this is my cleaner, or this is my... And then the conversation was just basically around this, because personally, you look down on those roles, so you find it difficult to introduce people, to associate people with that, whereas it's really not that way. Some people's jobs are just to cater for others. Not if, like Corey was saying last week, not everybody has to do something like world-changing.
Really,
some people are just there to ease. Because, I mean, at the end of the day... Which even reminds me, this is another place I ended up on this week. I ended up watching a lot of producers because I went back into listening to old The Weeknd songs. Mm-hmm. And then I found some producers that all of a sudden I started searching. You know, now Spotify shows you who produced a song.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at some of the producers of some songs and I'm like, wow. First of all, Pharrell has produced, Jesus Christ, so many songs.
Yeah.
And he also writes so many, right? But a lot of hits that we'll probably know, but we have no idea, right? And same thing with especially for Post Malone. Pharrell actually wrote a bit for him, so the thing was, I was just looking at that, and to what you're saying, it's like you may not know the behind the scenes, you just know those hits.
Yeah.
But there are people who made those things happen quietly, still make these things happen regularly. Because there are some producers out there, and I'm like, you've made life, like this guy that produces for The Weeknd, I can't remember his name now. Mm-hmm. He's Grammy nominated. He produced almost the whole House of Balloons album, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this guy, maybe people in music know him, but most of us don't. Mm-hmm. But this is somebody that is so instrumental in The Weeknd's career.
Yeah.
All we know is The Weeknd, but it takes real heads.
But that man is a huge part of his story.
So,
just to say that, don't look down on your dream.
Facts, and don't allow people to
look down on your dream either. Like, don't feel the need to like cower.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, maybe you're in certain rooms and people are introducing themselves as these big things. And you are just like, man, I'm just this. And but it's not even a thing of just, you are, and that's okay. Like that's, you don't know the lives that you're impacting and the lives that you're touching and things like that. One of my YouTubers that I follow, he reacts to like music. He does a lot of reactions to like Nicki Minaj music. So that's one of the reasons I really follow him. His name is Bobby Foster. He's actually very good. He breaks it down very well.
Okay.
And he recently posted on his community page about how like he's been having a lot of difficulty. I think he's ill in a way.
Okay.
I mean, we don't really know, but I think he's ill. You won't see it as you are watching him, but I think he has like some illness. And because of that, he hasn't really been able to work. And so YouTube is really what he's doing, but it's not bringing enough.
Yeah.
And he was saying about how like he really needs like people to really sign up to his Patreon, because it will get to a point, he's invested so much that it will get to a point where he might not be able to sustain. And that production. He feels like a failure.
Oh, and
when
my
I
God.
Tell you that, I felt like it made me feel so emotional.
Yeah.
I had to respond, like, because I was like, and he said he had been doing it for 3.5 years, and I was thinking about us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we've been podcasting for 4.
That was what even came to my mind. And I just told him that you're not a failure. Like, there are so many people that, like, love
I mean,
you.
You've touched lives.
Do you understand?
I don't, it's a funny thing the way people. Like, you know, we're always hardest on ourselves, right? Like, you always, when it comes to it, you might have everything, but then you look around and you're like, nah, I've not done much.
Yeah.
Or nah, you know.
Yeah.
But just a side note, chat, you guys should always try and send, like, messages to your creatives. Because you don't really
it helps
know.
A lot. Yeah,
you don't really know what it means to them.
But, you know, I related to him a lot with what he said. I just, like, felt like, personally, even for us, like, I try not to think about it, like, that deeply, like, anymore. I just accept that, like, I see what it has done. And I know that it will live on. So, I don't think about it like in a crazy way again, you know? So don't look down on yourself and don't look down on your dream. Everybody's not going to be this one thing, and that should not even be, I don't even know how to say it. Just do your own thing.
Mm.
Do what you love. Do what you feel in your heart to do.
Yeah.
And that's it though. But week was great.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It was fine.
I was going to say something. My AP was going to take a different route, but let me just say this before I do actually. Mm-hmm. I watched somebody who was talking about switching your memories in life to, switching your perception of your efforts to doing and not trying. So everything that you're actually attempting in life, if you switch your mindset from I'm trying to I'm doing, it really helps. Because sometimes you might be putting in your best, but because mentally you're looking down on yourself, you're like, oh, I'm just trying my best. But when you look at it from the perspective of I'm doing my best, it shows, like, you know, it takes ownership, right? So instead of being passive about life, you become like very active and in control. Like, listen, my best is 10%, but I'm doing it. Opposed to I'm trying and it's just 10%. It's like, listen, my best 10% and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So I think people should think about that. But my AP is it's about rejection and optimism. Mm. Right. So I would say, like, people should try to handle rejection with optimism, right? And be infinitely patient with trying again. So something that we don't really do is give ourselves like 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th, 15th chances. So most times when you get like that huge rejection, it's like, oh, that's that, or let me go. And I'm saying this because we're coming to the end of the year. It's going to be November soon. And so,
Best month, my birthday month.
Same with my dad. So we're looking at like 2 months to the end of the year. So look back at the year and just look at it that way. Like, take everything that happened. I'll say that off record.
Okay.
So we're getting to that stage where we can't be saying these things anymore. So handle rejection with optimism, people, right? And just keep being open to giving yourself multiple chances. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. You fall, you stand up, you keep going. That thing they said in Rocky, you know, it's not about how hard you fall, or is it how many times you stand? Something like that, yeah. But that's the one for this week, guys.
All right, that's great. So today we are going to be responding to you guys' messages. You guys have sent us quite a bit and we haven't responded, and we're sorry, we just have had a lot going on.
Had an interesting
couple of weeks. Going to take it one by one. All right, so we're going to start with an email that we got. right?
Okay.
Okay. So we received this on the 8th of October. And it says, "Hello, Isaac and Dolly. It's been a while since I wrote to the pod. I hope you guys are doing well."
Okay. Yes.
"I have written to you guys once and I appreciate how you guys handled my questions and concerns. So I want to know how you guys handle overthinking and insecurities in your relationships."
In your relationships.
Dolly can answer this since she's currently dating. Isaac is dating too.
Please, oh. So both of us. They said since you are dating. You too, yeah. I'm not dating. I'm not dating.
Yeah, what?
They're married. They're engaged. I'm not married. I'm not engaged. I'm not dating. The person said since Dolly is dating.
Isaac is dating.
Dolly, please. Isaac is
dating. "I am 23 and have established that my love languages are quality time, communication, touch, words of affirmation, and lastly, receiving
gifts." That's everything now, my guy. That's everything now. Who are you whining?
"I am very, very big on quality time and communication."
Okay.
"My boyfriend knows this and it was not an issue as we talked every day. But lately I noticed there was a drop in the way we communicate and it bothered me. I asked him if all was well and he said yes and that he was just in the stage of thinking about how to get a better job with much higher pay.
Okay.
But you guys, I want to believe that I am very understanding because I know how it feels to be working a job where they don't rate you no matter how hard they are trying, being underpaid and having so many bills to pay because, I mean, things are really expensive in Nigeria right now. Okay. I'm the type of girl who just wants my guy to call me, reply to my text fast, and talk to me about anything, to be honest. But with what he's currently going through, I fear that it might push me away from him. I mean, I totally want the best for both of us, but I just feel like he should not allow circumstances or situations to pull him away from our relationship.
Oh.
I don't like complaining, but I find myself talking about this all the time with him, and he tells me the exact same thing. He still loves me, but he's currently thinking about a lot of things, and he wants me to understand. How about he understands that I just want his company and that I can be lonely at times?
Aww.
I literally cried the last time I saw him because of pent-up feelings. He keeps things to himself. I have told him several times to tell me things, but he says there are things he can't share with me. But he'd rather deal with them. I don't want a situation where he'll find another girl that relates to what he's going through. And then due to vulnerability, they get close and you know the rest. This will hurt me because I feel like I am putting a lot of effort into our relationship.
Okay.
I like to share that I do not have low self-esteem. I'm quite confident in myself.
Okay.
I'm 23 and I'm currently working in a new job and on a new career path. I find myself thinking about him a lot as if he's my husband. Mind you, we are just 2 years and some months in. Is this how being in love is?
I said not just.
Or maybe I'm being insecure. It's not just. That's sometimes.
Yeah, that's my point.
Or maybe I'm being insecure. I tend to overthink a lot and this is just annoying me more. This whole thing started a few months ago. By the way, I see myself reminiscing about how we started dating and the cute things he did before now. Right now, I'm starting to dislike the fact that I think about him all the time because I do not like the feelings I get after. How can I reduce my affection? How can I stop thinking about him? How do I ensure that the way he acts does not bother me anymore? Also, I do not think he's tired of our relationship because as I have asked a few times, he mentions that I worry about things that have not happened before. So I just leave it. I pray as well. It got to a point where I was asking God to take away this feeling and let me just be normal. But I feel like I'm just praying a bad prayer. And Isaac, is it a man's thing to start worrying about how to make more money?
Yes.
Is it more serious? Is it that serious? Is it that serious that you start keeping to yourself?
Yes.
Is it that serious that the feelings you normally show your baby suddenly die down?
Yes.
I mean, I understand men want to make a lot of money because of responsibility.
True.
Women do too. I love money. I love making my own money and spending it. I hate being broke. But if my guy does not have the capacity, I won't pressure him. I don't even pressure my dad or rely on him. I rely on myself. I was thinking maybe because I have daddy issues and I found someone who really loves me. But it's like the love is dropping. I'm not sure. I feel like I lack patience. Maybe this is just a phase that will pass away and I should just be patient. Or maybe because I feel like some habits do not need to change because my boyfriend always says that because he does not act a certain way, it does not mean he loves me less.
Well,
I'm sorry
true.
This is long. I just wanted to vent to you guys and hear your thoughts.
In fairness, that was long.
but I mean, I'm glad you...
But yeah, I can relate, actually. I can actually relate. But, where do we start? Which one do we start with?
I mean, you just go.
Okay. So, I think your guy is going through something, right? And I think there's a balance between you being patient with him and him putting in the effort to show that he's still committed. So, this is actually where one has to be careful about being selfish, right? You have to give him grace, but at the same time, he has to keep showing you that there's a need to keep extending the grace. I think what you guys might need is a stern conversation that does not involve ultimatums. That's very important, because it's not a case of coming and saying, okay, this is how I feel. I'm sick and tired of this. If you don't do this by this time, I think, blah, blah, blah. Instead, I think you should have a stern conversation to get him to really open up and to create a safe space for him to be able to open up. So the thing is, I don't know much about your relationship, but I know that for a lot of guys, right, we will open up when we genuinely feel safe, right? And when we genuinely feel like, listen, everything is stuff. But at the same time, I know that a lot of guys, even seeing that, will not say anything. We'll still like move into our shell. So I don't know which stage exactly you're in. But my advice overall would be, have a conversation with him, right? Because it just boils down. For me, I think he's just going through, maybe the country is hard. Maybe he doesn't have money right now, and that's extending into his self-worth and all those kind of things. And naturally, as guys, we might want to withdraw once we start feeling like we're not enough, in a sense, even though most times it's all in our heads. But I really think, and at the same time, from what you've said, I think this person has talked about, she has tried to be there, she has spoken, she has... So it's why I'm saying, like, it's a balance between you continuing to do that and him giving you enough reason to show that he's also trying to meet you halfway and work better. But honestly, I think it's time to have a stern conversation, both without ultimatums, so that you can be like, listen, I am trying my best to love you. You should try your best to also receive this love. Because whatever it is you're going through, yes, it might be a lot, but if the boyfriend also listens, I think you should try to open up to your girlfriend and give her something to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what means a lot to her. And whether or not it's deliberate, you're taking away those things that mean something to her. So try and give her back those things. Try and meet her halfway. Communication mm-hmm. might be difficult because you're probably in your head. I know, because I'm a guy, it happens. But like, I think I've said this before, like, men, we should try to be open to receiving the love that we deserve, right? And sometimes when people throw that love at us, we run away because it's like, yo, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't have enough money in my life, blah, blah, blah. But I think for the guy, he should try and just be there. Try and meet her halfway. Try and listen. Try and show her, just give her something to show that you're still in this with her. I mean, 2 years is not something you throw away just because you're going through like a tough time, right? And I think self-sabotage is very common with men in when it comes to money and all those kind of things. So overall, Sha, I think the guy should try and meet her halfway, and she should also try and be patient at that halfway while she waits for him because of how much they've invested. And the whole idea of meeting somebody else and all those kind of things, I'll scrap that for now. I don't really know the intricacies, but I think this guy likes you. It might just be in his head. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know how long that this whole situation has been going on with you guys. But I will say this. I'm also a person that communication is extremely important for me in my relationship. Lack of communication, it tells me a lot, if I'm being honest. And so I understand how you're feeling, and that really sucks. It's a very sucky feeling when it just feels like the person that like you really, and you love him, that's really what it is. So you thinking about him, even in terms of like, oh, seeing him as a husband. Now you have to be careful with that as well, which whereby like, I understand what you mean. You can see yourself being with him for a long time, which is a very okay place to have that to be, but try not to like now be a wife unless until you become a wife. It's very important, very, very important. But also like, so I understand you love him, and that's very okay for you to love him. That's why you feel the way you do. That's why you think about him like that and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would say that for me, if that kind of situation happened, it would bother me.
Of course.
It would bother me. And if I've spoken about it over and over again, and it seems like it's not working, personally, it might just feel like, where's this relationship going?
That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
I will feel, I'm not going to lie.
I think people should be careful. That's why about I was
saying that, like, I was saying that, like, it depends on how long this has been going on. Because, like, if you keep on saying the same thing, and you have to remember that if you're going to end up being married to somebody, then there's a potential that something like this can happen again.
Oh, yeah, whatever they do now, they'll probably keep doing.
Exactly. And you never want to be in a situation where you feel alone. The worst thing that you can feel is when you are with somebody, but you still feel alone.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
That sounds like something Drake can say, by the way.
It's so bad. Now, like Isaac mentioned, it's possible that he's going through something. Maybe he's depressed. Men sometimes tend to be, they hinge their identity a lot on being able to provide and money. And so when they don't have that, it can make them feel less.
Yeah.
And so that is a possibility. But like, I also just feel like it should not completely like remove you wanting to like communicate or you wanting to like speak. Or like, I feel like when you love somebody, like that should not be like a hindrance.
Have you ever loved somebody?
You know? And it's not to say that he might not love you. Like I said, I don't know who he is. I don't know his mindset. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know how long this has been going on for. So this is not to say that, oh, he might not love you or whatever. But I would just say this. As Isaac said, even though you've had a conversation with him over and over again, I feel like you should have like a real conversation in like, I'm not saying it has to be like an ultimatum, people. I definitely feel like needs to understand that your needs are not being met.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like a stern conversation without ultimatums
I feel like, I mean, I don't know if it's to say, oh, okay, that means we're not, but I feel like it's to understand that, look, my needs are not being met.
Mm-hmm.
And if my needs are not, I want to be in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, and so if I feel like this constantly goes on, yeah, I don't know where we'll be going.
Yeah,
and that's just the truth.
Hence the meeting halfway, you guys need some.
Yeah. And the truth about the matter is that I know that you were saying that can your own affection drop? I know where that is coming from. You know when someone is doing you self, you just want to be like, maybe me too, my own affection.
If I do my own back.
Broke. Maybe my own affection should drop. Because so that's you know when you are really loving somebody and the person, you self, you now even start to think that am I doing
and
too
so
much.
It's that thing, if somebody is at 0-100, right?
Yes.
Instead of meeting at 50-50, you're now thinking, oh, maybe, let me just go away. Maybe you when understand? I go further,
and this
you'll
is the
miss
danger.
Me.
In this whole thing, which is why like is better to just have like a real conversation. And honestly speaking, I really do pray that this is just like a temporary thing, because I really I'm hoping that it's a temporary thing. But I also just want you to just be prepared that like in the event that like your needs don't continue to be met, don't feel like you have to continue in something.
To make it sound a little bit less
if they don't meet you halfway,
I think you should start. Yeah,
like I think it's something that you should like consider again. I don't know him. He could be like an amazing person, and it's not to say that again. That's what I was saying, that depending on you know yourself how long this has been going on.
Yeah,
how many times you've had this conversation? Mm-hmm. Because when you've had a conversation with somebody over and over and over and over and over again, it just seems like.
Yeah, a broken record. And also, I think there also becomes a disregard, disrespect for your time.
Yeah.
Which is why if you have a conversation and they still don't meet you halfway, it has to be like, listen, big man.
Yeah. And I hate to say, because you guys have been together for like a bit, 2 years is not being, you know, it's
in this country, that's not been. But at 21 though to 23,
still,
it's very formative. So I'll be very careful about ultimatums at that age.
Yeah. But like, still, you don't want to like find yourself like in a situation whereby like, you are in something and you're not happy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like,
you now start looking
again,
at it.
Again, walking through the tough times, like, I'm all for that because there are tough times.
Yeah.
But, like, again, like I said, like, with certain things, like, communication is one of them.
Yeah.
If it has been spoken about over and over and over again, or more, like,
there's
it's not
lack
to,
of respect.
Because then it will not get to a point. If my partner is not communicating with me, when that starts to happen, this is a personal thing.
Yeah.
When that starts to happen, I will feel like the relationship is nearing its end. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I think...
Personally. Especially if, like, there isn't, like... I mean, things can happen, yes. But things can happen whereby, like, come on.
No, so the way I see it, like, I agree with you. I think at some point, it becomes a lack of respect for the union.
Hmm.
Like, for whatever it is you guys have together. If the effort is one-sided. Mm-hmm. And if you keep complaining and stuff about, like, the same thing over and over again... It becomes like lack of.
And then you said that some things you cannot tell her.
No, that one, I wouldn't say that one is that bad. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying, I know that sometimes people keep certain things to themselves, but like, I'm just saying, if you are dealing with something constantly, and you're in a relationship, and this thing that you're, think about it, Isaac.
I know, but that one
is
slightly
tricky. If I'm dealing with something that is affecting our relationship, and you're my person, even if you don't give me like the ins and outs of it all, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know, but
you can at least give me like, because I'm here.
I'm here
dealing with this thing with you. I don't even know what it is.
Or even I'm dealing with the consequence of this thing on you. So
and then you're saying
that
you cannot tell me.
Yeah.
That
like,
some things you cannot
tell me.
I understand what she's saying in saying that like she doesn't want a situation where he will meet up. That thing is a legit.
No, it does happen. It does happen.
Where like you can just be meet somebody, then all of a sudden you somehow now finally find it easy. So that's why, like, before your mind will start going in all of this. So I would just say, it's not to say that you should go and end the relationship, but maybe you guys can have a real conversation. And I'm not saying
you have to.
Isaac is saying no ultimatums, but personally, I feel like he should understand like what this can lead to in you guys.
Not in the next conversation, though.
Hmm?
Like my advice is the next conversation should not reach there. The next conversation should reach a place of listen. This in this moment is how I feel. This is
but
what
they've
it looks
had those
like.
Conversations.
Like what I'm saying is a stern one. Like I don't know the kind of ones they've had, but I'm saying the first one shouldn't instantly go to ultimatums.
It's not like an ultimatum per se.
Yeah.
But more so to say that this is how it's affecting our relationship.
Fair.
And if it's getting to this point, like what else is left? If I can't talk to you, if you can't tell me what you're going through, if communication drops, if I don't even know what's happening, I'm lonely, I feel this way. I feel like you should just be real about everything that you're feeling.
Lonely at the top.
Just lay it all out on the table. Like she said that she cried to him the last time she saw him. Like, those are those kind of things that we already...
I know.
Do you understand? I know. Communication is important to me. So, but anyway, I don't know if this is helpful because...
It's deep.
It's very deep and like it bothers me. Safe.
Yeah, be very careful because that thing you said about being a wife before you become a wife is mad. So please be very careful.
She said she thinks about him as like her husband,
like, so
but there's a
careful.
Line.
Yeah.
It's okay to think about when you're with somebody for a while.
Yeah.
It's very okay to have that idea that this could be the person that, because why else are you dating?
Facts.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you're not looking to the future.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong in already like thinking that I could be with this person forever. But there also has to be careful.
Yeah.
Not to already be a wife when you are not one yet. Is a thing that all of us have to, even me. Like you have to remind yourself of that because sometimes that now makes things a bit more complicated in your head than it needs to be.
Yeah, of course.
So
start blurring the lines.
And by the way, you mentioned if it was a bad prayer. I don't think it's a bad prayer per se. I think it's just like how you're feeling.
It's just an expression of frustration, really.
It's an expression of frustration. I don't think that there's anything wrong.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong in airing out your frustrations, but you can just pray for like
better
peace in your heart
air it out,
and clarity on how to move forward. But I'm praying for clarity for you, and I pray that the conversation that you guys have will go well.
I don't know you, but you can DM me and I'll talk to your boyfriend as a man for you.
So there you go.
Man to man.
Man to man.
I don't know you, Shabo.
If he's down for that.
If he's down, because that's another thing.
So please message us again, like maybe another time, if you just want us to, if you still want us to like have a conversation.
I think
like,
some of these conversations might be easier for guys to have with guys.
Yeah. So, yes.
Like, bro,
so
I don't get money. They affect how I feel. You can never
but
say
that
to a woman.
That does happen with guys.
Yeah, but you know you can never say that to a woman as a guy. It's very difficult to find a woman that will be safe enough in space for you to say that. That
but
I don't have money.
Your partner should.
No, I know.
To be
honest.
I agree. If not, what else are we doing? Because like I said before, if you're going to marry this person, there are going to be some times when like maybe things are a bit tough. And I understand that, this is something men, but I just feel like it doesn't make any sense.
No,
Like your partner, I know it's hard.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, like when you are with somebody, like that should not be a thing where that should now be a place where you feel safe.
Okay, just
if the person is not insulting you.
No, facts. But one final thing I think is that a lot of partners are not safe spaces the way they think they are. But let's move on.
All right.
That one I know a lot of people can attest to.
I don't know.
Like people are not as safe a space as they
but
think.
But then why are you now with the person?
No. This one is a
no,
long
Roto,
conversation.
Why are you with the person?
Eh?
Why are you now with the
because
person?
Sometimes you are with people on surface level. We don't actually like deeply have a connection.
Because if your partner cannot be your safe space, that's a problem. If I cannot be your safe space.
No, you can be my safe space for some things, but not for other things.
If I
it's
cannot
possible.
Be your safe space, I don't know why. Honestly, because
no, I get you.
I really
I
don't
get
know
you.
What we're
See,
doing.
The thing is, I get you, but
it's
I'm
okay
speaking
if I'm
from,
your safe space, so, but we don't now need to
No, I'm
this.
Speaking from reality versus ideal. Some people go through these things, man. And that's just how it is.
Okay, my dear, all the love
and
girl.
Light.
All the love and light.
Though. And all the best too. I wish you a colorful relationship like Drake's, these things he puts on his head now. his hair clips.
Yeah, all right. So the next one is from a lady who says that...
who says...
I'm sorry. Dear Dolly and Isaac, life is tough.
Chai, I feel you.
Work on weekdays, classes on weekends, Monday to Sunday, no rest.
Ha.
I just pray for strength for the next day. I'm praying for you too. I'm sorry I said it that way, but I just needed to get it out first.
That's fair.
How are you guys doing? Well, okay.
We
hopefully,
do.
Hopefully
but things
not
are
as
tough.
Stressed
things
as
are tough.
Hopefully not as stressed and tired as I am.
Fair.
So I want your opinions on a couple of things. Number one, is it a bad thing that I feel like my parents are becoming burdensome?
All right, hold on. Let's go one by one. Okay, but go on.
I'm not the firstborn, but I see how they tax my elder sister heavily to buy this and that for the house and for them, which she does out of obligation, not from the goodness of her heart. I just started working and my parents, especially my dad, has been dropping hints about asking me for money and I should not ask for explanation. My relationship with my parents is non-existent and I have zero love for them. But that's not the issue. I don't want to be their retirement plan. Make nobody disturb my life. I might sound ungrateful, but Omo, these people have showed my siblings and I shiggy. And I have had enough. My sister is still being a good girl and I'm happy for her. Please, how do I ensure I'm not a burden without being too rude or selfish?
How do you ensure?
That she's a burden. She's not a burden without
being too rude or selfish. Boundaries.
This is the first question.
Yeah, I'm all for boundaries with black tax. So. But I'm also of the understanding that they might have invested in you as well. So there should be... I'm not saying you should give them everything. I'm saying there should be a balance. That balance is down to you as a person to define. Let's say, just for context, you might be making maybe $1 million. It might not be too much to give them maybe 10K at your own discretion as opposed to constantly pumping half your salary to them. So black tax is a very dangerous thing and it's like a... It starts small and before you know it, you've carried it for 50 years and now you have resentment. So I'm all for keeping boundaries with that thing, right? Let it be, if any money is coming out, it should be without resentment and it should be something that you want to do on your own terms, right? So that's what I'll say. But yeah, that's my advice on that.
I always feel like when we have these conversations about like that whole thing about a parent looking at children as like an investment in the sense that like, oh, okay, I must reap this. I have an issue with that. Because on one hand, I definitely do believe that, you know, we have an obligation to ourselves, right? The family, definitely, I feel like when you're older as a child, definitely help out with your parents like, where needed here and there as well. The same thing with like, you know, even like with your friends. I feel like that's just love
natural.
And family.
Yeah.
But not as, it should not be a thing where like there is a certain level of...
expectation.
Demand. Yeah, like to the point where like you are now like, how do I put it? You almost don't care where it comes from.
Yeah.
I have
a
very big issue.
And so that's
with
that's the thing with the entitlement. And it's a thing where it's down to the giver to establish those boundaries.
I hate it so much. So what I would just say is, my dear, just like Isaac said, you have to just establish boundaries.
Quickly.
Maybe also you don't let them know exactly how much you're getting. Maybe like... What was that Corey said?
Yeah, say always have the salary
Thank
for
you.
His mom.
So maybe they will only have knowledge of, you tell them is this amount when it's really much more than that. And also, just, I don't know if you are still living in the same house with them and stuff. It's usually harder when you're in the same house to establish like boundaries and stuff like that. But like, I just think that you should just be like, when you're able, you say, okay, I can help. When you're not, you say, okay. The truth is that sometimes it's parents with some parents, not every parent. No matter what you say or do, even you might say it in the sweetest way.
That one, no concern.
They will still say that you're rude and you're selfish. I would just say that for your own self, just always be kind in the way you speak. Even if it comes out and they say, oh, you're selfish, you just know that you're approaching it in a kind and respectful manner. Be as respectful
as possible.
Yeah, but you understand. But still establish like certain level of boundaries.
Yeah, but also I think there's just have it at the back of your mind that you should also give, but just on your own.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with helping, but just I think
on your own
you also have to understand with her saying that her parents have showed them like so there's already like that feeling of like I haven't been treated well.
Yeah, no, I from her parents' entitlement. Yes, I get it, so, I get it, but at the same time, I think it's one of those things you have to balance. You have to balance it.
Just, I guess, put in your mind maybe what you can do to help out.
Yeah, maybe start paying.
And you help them to understand that, see.
That's the best you can
do. That is the best I can do. If you want more, it's not from me. I don't know where else that you want
and
to get it from.
And please don't be afraid to have that conversation. I know it can be hard, but it's the earlier you have it, the better. Yeah. You know that thing they say, like, quickly, this thing, quickly disappoint your parents. So that they'll get used to it.
They will not
on time.
Be happy, but they'll
but
be
just
okay.
The earlier, the better.
The earlier, just let it be known.
That's why I should have started wearing.
This is what I'll be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't do more than that, and that's just the truth. Yeah. If you want me to leave,
yeah,
I can't do more than that. If they come and ask you, I don't have.
Yeah, simple.
Just be using the I don't have.
Simple, simple, simple.
I don't have. They might say.
Yeah.
Just be willing to just take it in, but don't think. Take it too deep.
Yeah, don't take it personally. Because you know what you're doing.
Know, exactly.
I was saying, like, it's why I should have started wearing anklets earlier. But I started wearing it from uni. By now, nobody will stress me. But go on.
Okay, and then the next one, the next question she had was, give me a second. Hello. Guess to this, when you're older, all kinds of...
You don't know how to use technology anymore.
No, I'm not even talking about this one, Sif. I wasn't talking about what we just read, Sif. Okay. And please get some time to rest though with all the work that you're doing.
That's Monday crazy. To Sunday. I mean, we work too hard as Nigerians.
Bruh. So number two, she says, I'm a Yoruba lady.
Okay.
And I don't intend on being a traditional wife. I don't want traditional Yoruba man as a husband.
What does that
traditional
mean?
In the sense that he will ask me to cook pounded yam after church on Sunday for me. Pounded do, not poundo. Or he wants to be eating fresh soup every day. Is this unrealistic?
No.
Really love to hear from you. Love you guys a lot. I don't think it's unrealistic. But I just definitely think that, like, just be watchful of the person that you're getting with. Do you understand? That's
know
why you
them.
Need to have these conversations.
And voice it on time.
In fact, it's not even when you guys are even talking, it's good to even understand where you guys are. Like, what are your expectations? From a partner,
you know,
what are your expectations from what do you expect from me? Let you guys, and that's why when we're talking about this whole dating thing a few weeks ago, when AJ was here and we spoke about like that talking stage, that thing is really like a test of like compatibility. Now, granted, some things you might not really know,
some people only talk about sex, that's why it never goes anywhere.
Exactly. So that's why you have those conversations first, because you will definitely find somebody who is not traditional and who is fine. But you also meet people who are traditional. So don't try and now bend into somebody else's will.
Yeah.
Just find somebody who is compatible with you.
Yeah. I think all of these conversations, sometimes they just have to do with like mindset of money.
Mm.
At the end of the day, if two of you are rich and you can afford somebody that will cook, what does it matter? But yeah, just make sure you find somebody.
So find somebody that is on the same wavelength with you, so it will not be a problem later.
Exactly.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with a man wanting a traditional wife or a woman wanting a traditional husband.
As long as it's what you want.
So don't go and look for what you don't want. I always hate it when a man or a traditional man
will go and meet
a woman
and then he wants to bend her into what he wants.
Or sometimes a woman will know
that a man
that it doesn't work that way.
Let
us just
find who you want.
Thank you.
That goes with what you want and you move there. Let everybody be happy.
All right. So the next one is from a female who says, Isaac is very funny.
Wahala, what did
I
do?
This guy says he's out of a job and doesn't have money. But my guy is out here casually sipping on kiwi infused water.
Actually,
is that kiwis?
First of all, right? Let me just quickly do a plug.
Okay. Say, Isaac, please. That is fancy fruits. This is your unemployed lifestyle. It's giving trust fund, baby. Living the dream. Love it for you. Love the pot so much. Keep it up, guys. To the kiwis.
First of all, yes. Because this week I bought kiwis and one was $1,250. Mm. So let me just quickly say something at this point. You guys go and check out my TikTok. I make fantastic juices and flavored water. It turns out that that's now my own niche, right? And also subscribe to my YouTube channel. You watch me making kiwis in water.
That is too funny.
But yeah, I mean, no, now it's not like, it's by choice now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like Dolly always says, I'm in a phase. I'm chilling.
He's just chilling.
I'm just chilling. Plus, Road to 30 podcast listeners know, like, I talk about money a lot. So I have invested a bit over my years. Yeah. And so that is actually holding me down. I know I joke a lot about being broke and stuff, but I'm really not. Right. I'm really just chilling, really. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, you should try kiwis or whoever that person is. You should try kiwis.
Okay. So the next one says, hello, Isaac and Dolly. I was just listening to the pod and I heard Dolly say we served together in Ogun State.
Oh,
I think maybe that was when Fikemi was here. Fikemi served in Ogun State, I believe. And I was like,
yeah, props.
I didn't wait to hear anything else. Maybe before I finish writing this email, I'll listen more to get more details. Please, okay. I'm from Lagos. I can't serve in Lagos and I don't want to leave the Southwest. So I did what anybody in my position would do.
Okay.
Get a plug.
The system. Let's call it the system.
I was supposed to go with the last badge, but the plug didn't work because I paid.
Because what?
Because I paid this. And then I was posted to buy your son. And I cannot come and be recruited by Mandy. That's it. Okay, like real tears. Oh my God. Let me tell you, is the laughing emoji throughout the message for me? Like, I didn't think, look, I'm not even kidding you. Those laughing emojis just everywhere.
Oh my God.
That's the real problem. There's nothing for me in this Southwest except Lagos. I told my blog to do Ogun State. It's close to Lagos. If you guys know any tech company or any company in Ogun State that has a software tech department, any other state in the Southwest except Lagos, because I can't come and be collecting 15K salary with a BSc degree at my big small age. I'm a software engineer. Okay, his end is GitHub and my portfolio, which is still under construction. I didn't think this would be the way I'd write my first mail to the podcast, but hey, life is full of surprises. I started listening to the pod during what I'd probably refer to as the lowest low in my life. You guys are doing amazingly well. Cheers to our journey to 30. Even though you guys will get there 7 years earlier than me. I just want to thank you for this message because this message cracked me up.
That is hilarious.
This message cracked me up so much. Oh my goodness.
You didn't pay on time.
Bruh, guys, this message cracked me up. So.
Oh my God.
Okay, so like I would just say that, Ogun State is a good place to serve.
To be fair. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, Ogun State is a good place to stay. I mean, at least I enjoyed the camp a lot. So yeah, if you can definitely enter Ogun State, that would be great. If anybody knows any software or tech company in Ogun State, please reach out to us so that we can send it to. Yes, please.
I mean, to be fair, if you want to stay in the Southwest, you can serve in Oshun also. It's significantly cheaper.
Hey, so there you go.
Significantly.
But like,
cheaper.
Was there like, I'm sure there'll be tech.
No, there are tech. There are some tech roles because our governor is really big on, he's trying to localize this Startup Act.
Okay.
And then we have a couple of these tech companies that are currently doing accelerators and stuff there.
Yeah.
So I would suggest Oshun. Because trust me, I found out recently that with about, I think 50-60K a year, you can get like a good, what's it called? BQ. So you'll be fine. But how can you end up in Bielsa because you didn't pay on time?
I'm so done.
Jesus, Bielsa.
So he also sent his GitHub. So like if you guys are
if any of you is in HR,
if anybody has, I beg, let us help each other.
We'll love that, please.
Please, let's help each other. Okay. So
it's so funny that it's because he didn't pay on time.
Guy. Anyway, all right, so next one says, hi, Dolly and Isaac. Thank you so much for the podcast. You guys are doing such an amazing thing. You have no idea. Your podcast is pinned on my Spotify, so I can listen immediately a new episode drops.
Oh, she fan.
That's how important you guys are.
That's not good, fan. That's an AC.
Thank you. That's a what?
It's an AC. It's pinned on the wall. You don't get it. She pinned the Spotify, so it's like...
I got it. An AC pinned on the wall.
Exactly. Come on.
Now to my dilemma. Omo, I don't even know where to start. So in 2021, I met this amazing woman via another friend.
Okay, so this is a man.
Yes.
Interesting.
We were jogging partners at first. And then as we continued, we began to get closer and closer until we're basically spending an insane amount of time with each other.
That reminds me of you and management, but please go.
Right. Naturally, feelings started to develop on both our sides, but I didn't want to act on mine because I felt I wasn't ready for a relationship. So okay. I kept on ignoring it while keeping her for the future.
As what we
now,
meant
as to. We grew closer and closer, we began to unravel different things about ourselves.
Oh, shit.
And we realized we were ideologically different. For example, she is a very staunch Muslim, while I, on the other hand, am an agnostic, someone who is not sure if God exists. This year, we had a discussion about it, and she pointed out that our ideological differences is the major reason why she can't have anything deeper with me.
Okay.
Now, to my dilemma, I had accepted the fact that we'll probably never be together, and I was satisfied with the fact that she likes me. But she recently got back with her ex, mm-hmm. who just converted to Islam.
Okay.
She told me about the relationship.
Okay.
And guys, I was so hurt. Okay. I am absolutely confused about this because I didn't expect this to hurt the way it does.
Okay.
I don't know what to do now because we have become best friends, so I can't just withdraw without hurting her. But I am quite pained inside. Okay. Anytime she talks about the guy and the pitch of her voice goes down, she starts smiling.
Yeah,
I feel like punching the so-called boyfriend in the face. So guys, please advise me because my heart is just pinning me since that day. And I'll avoid my WhatsApp because I am nervous to chat with her. For context, we are very close, so we chat almost every day. How do I navigate these guys? I would like to hear specifically from Isaac because he seems like someone who has had his heart broken the most excruciating way.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, this was a long read. I really appreciate your advice. P.S. I am 20, so please take that into consideration.
Oh, okay,
thanks,
okay,
guys.
Okay. To be
okay,
fair.
Okay, Isaac, have you had your heart broken excruciating ways?
Excruciating is a very big word, though. Nah, not really. Maybe just, I mean, I had an Igbo woman agenda for the longest
time. For the longest time.
So, yeah, I mean, it was something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've had my heart broken. I won't say excruciating, I beg, but in a couple ways. Okay, so here's the thing. It's clear that you like this woman, right? But it's also clear that your feelings for her became heightened by the fact that you couldn't have her. It's a thing that happens in life. Sometimes when you know something is now, like for sure, somebody has said, you know what, you can't have this. That's when you now want that thing. Because you guys already had the conversation and you already understand the fact that your ideologies are different, right? So you've still not come to terms with that. But now that she's now with someone else, you now feel like your feelings are a little bit more intense because she has now found something. I think... take some time and come to terms with the fact that you cannot be together, right? Firstly, and don't leverage your friendship to sort of get that. So, like this person is young, so I get why you'll still be thinking that way, but just be patient. You need to be able to deconstruct your feelings so that you can actually focus on the friendship as opposed to the relationship. I think what is important is that you want this person in your life, but your body and your mind is telling you romantically, even though it's clear that that can happen. So just take some time and come to terms with the fact that that you guys cannot be together romantically. But most importantly, this is somewhere that you also have to be very careful with, or something you have to be careful with. Communicate your feelings if you do decide to pull away from the friendship, right? Because if you know that you cannot deal with the fact that she's dating someone else, that is also fine. But communicate that with her so that she also understands that, listen, I know nothing can happen between us, but I do like you. And those feelings are constantly under attack whenever you talk about this guy. And that is why until I can deal with that, because it's a me problem, not you. Until I can deal with that, I would like to maybe reduce how often we talk or something. But just understand that you need to communicate that so you don't just disappear and hold the friendship ransom until you get what you want, because that sounds like what you want to do. So that's my advice on that one.
Yeah, I think I agree with Isaac, like Totally. I would say that you're feeling the way you're feeling. Like Isaac has already even explained like all of that. I would just say that you could just try and wait and see. Like I understand the hurt feelings and everything. I think I guess it's some kind of natural in his sense, but now it's more heightened because of the fact that like
You can't have her and somebody else has her.
Yes, you understand. I would just say that try and give yourself like some time to see if it's something that like you can get over.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, even if you guys were not, even if she wasn't with this person, you probably would not even work in a relationship because you guys have very different ideologies. So there is that. Now, if like after you have tried, it doesn't seem to be working in that way, I would do what Isaac said, which is that reach out to her, let her understand that you like her, you love your relationship as friends.
Yeah.
But like right now at this present time, this is how you're feeling. It is not her problem. And make sure you understand because sometimes when people say these things, they are almost like leaving the ball in like the other person's court. Like, oh, I've told you I like you now, so
leave your man.
She's not going to leave. And don't even expect that from her. That would be a very horrible thing to do to her. You just help her to understand that, look, you are dealing with this, but you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to kind of like let that go. If it's okay, you just want to reduce your communication for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can check up on her. Maybe if you guys just talk every day, check up on her once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And just until you get yourself together. But I feel like you guys have a good friendship.
Yeah.
So I want you to be careful not to
lose it. That.
I think the thing here,
if we were to summarize this, this guy is currently in love with the idea of this babe.
Yeah.
So be very careful with that.
Yeah. Don't allow that to affect your friendship. But if you need to take a step back for now, you can help her to also understand.
Communicate that because...
I need to take a step back for now.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Here is why.
But that you'll be fine. And again, help her to understand that it is not on her.
Yeah, it is
not on her. So that because some people want to gaslight one into
Of course. That's the standard things. Oh my God, so I like you. Well, what's going to happen now?
Mm-hmm. As in.
It's like, bro, nothing.
And you don't worry. You'll be fine. All right. So, next one. Says, hey there. So I've been tuning into your podcast for a while, but I just realized I'd never checked out your social media.
Okay.
Today I finally saw your pictures and it was like meeting old friends for the first time. Isaac, yeah, cute you.
Oh, shit.
And Dolly, yeah, a total babe. You both have been keeping me company for 2 years now.
Damn.
Yes, I live and work as a strategy consultant in Rotterdam. Where is that?
England? No, it's England.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Isaac, I think your consulting skills are so on point.
Oh, sure.
And I'm convinced that BCG and Bain will be lucky to have you. It's McKinsey's loss. Please
Let's
apply to either of them when you can.
Also,
no pressure, but why are you still in Nigeria? You could totally get a global job.
Oh, sorry, Rotterdam
is
in Netherlands. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You could totally get a global job without the hassle of doing Canadian PR. My friend just landed a sweet strategy job at Microsoft and got sponsored to move to Canada. Also, I know an acquaintance that just landed a consultant role at Bain and is being sponsored to South Africa.
Okay.
There is much more opportunities on this global scale for a talented man like you.
I agree. The answer to that before you go on is that I'm currently chilling. All that will start happening. Like, guys, I'm chilling.
Yeah, okay.
It will start happening soon.
All right. Dolly, you seem to enjoy Nigeria, but I'm lucky hoping your management moves to the abroad, start your lives together there.
On a farm.
Speaking of management, Isaac, you haven't spoken a lot about your management lately. Things are good.
Let's move on.
Isaac, you've been making some more things. Things are okay with them, Jerry. Don't mind Isaac. They're okay.
Let's move on.
Don't do that. They're okay. They like to do this type of things to keep each other on, to keep themselves on their toes. They are a very weird set of people. Don't mind them, but they are okay. I can tell you that one.
Mm-hmm.
Except if it's light, but they're okay. Anyway, I know it's a unique phase for you both, but I'm sure things will fall in perfect place for you guys. Sending love, and I'm so thrilled to finally match faces to your names. I really feel like we're friends.
No,
we are. I love you guys so much. P.S. Dolly, I think you might slowly be converting Isaac back to Christian. I'm not converting him, but this Isaac. He's much more open-minded than he was a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah,
I'll give him.
I am.
He is. Thank you so much for your message. It was very sweet. I don't know. The reason why I'm still in Nigeria or why I'm not really considering, you know, sometimes I don't feel that pressure or that I really don't.
I mean, that's fair.
At this point, like, I because moving to the abroad is not even just a...
It's not roses.
Yeah, you just don't want to just move and it's just coming from a place of I must jackpot.
There needs to be purpose.
I don't feel, yes. And at this present time, thankfully, things, I'm still comfortable enough in terms of like, I have a house, there's a place to stay, I'm not paying rent and all those stuff. But and I'm very open to like where life would lead us. And hey, who knows? It could happen. I'm not, I don't put that like aside. If it comes, I'll take it.
Mm.
The opportunity comes, yeah, for, you know what, for we both should of do? Us. That would be great.
When we turn 40, we should come back and do like an episode.
That would be dope. Will you guys still listen?
Probably.
You guys are here.
Probably.
You guys wait for a 40 and fabulous.
I'm telling you.
40 and fabulous episode.
To be sensational.
Okay, so my message is say, why do you guys call... See, at this point now, it's like everybody thinks that it's just me that has management. No, Isaac has management too.
I don't know why you keep doing this. The people are speaking.
Why do you guys call this man management?
Speak.
Is that his nickname or is that a nick? Is that his name or is that
a
nickname?
This is a new listener.
If it's a nickname, I'm really curious to know the story behind it.
Okay.
So actually, what happened was it's Isaac that started it.
So basically, the story behind management is that when you're in a relationship, because of podcasting, you have to keep them safe and anonymous, right? But the safest way to pass the message across is that you are employed, right? And when you're employed, you know, it's management that employs you. So that's how that's how we
so
came
Isaac
around.
So Isaac started saying it. Yeah. He started saying it in reference to his book.
Yeah.
And I just
at
like...
the time.
Isaac, stop that.
I've said what I said.
Isaac, stop that. See, let me tell you guys, they are fine. We're just talking before we even started this episode. They are fine. Isaac, stop that.
You know what you're doing? You're doing like TMZ. You think you have the inside scoop.
I don't have the inside scoop, but I know that they are fine. They are fine. This Isaac is just... They are fine. Wait, stop it. Mm. Anyway, they are okay.
The people have said what
but
they
yeah,
said.
So he started saying and then I started saying it from him. So.
Also, something that the previous person mentioned, I know anytime people meet us, they are surprised as to how we look.
I don't know what
the, especially I don't like for me especially people expect somebody that is way more serious and then they meet me and they're like how
I don't know what people expect of me before they meet me. I don't know what do you guys expect of me. I don't I really don't. I have no thoughts on that,
to be honest. When I listen to you sometimes, if obviously I know what you look like, but you sound like a you give Erica Badu that kind of vibes.
I do.
Yeah, if you give the vibe like in the next couple years you would have like, you know, your sage.
I mean, I ain't gonna do sage because, you know, I'm not ten. That's not my ministry.
Yeah, I guess. Have you seen
that
video where the lady was burning sage and then her kids were coughing? And she was like, of course they would, the demons. I cried when I saw that.
I mean, I am a sort of flower child, I guess.
Yeah. But you have that kind of vibe.
You're not the only person to say that. I think I've heard different people say that. Even some of my friends say that.
Mm.
I mean, I'm glad. I was actually going to ask you that, like, how, because I don't know how I come off as a person. I was like, how do I come off?
I think I'm too biased to say that.
Yeah, but you know, you're the one that has dealt with me. How do I come off? Like, in just... like life.
I feel like you should have dreads, longer dreads to start with. That's the vibe you give, right? You have you give that vibe and then you give that, you come off as a hippie. Yeah, but you come off, because I know you, I think I get the sense that you would eventually become a hippie, but that would eventually be where you settle into.
I always say I'm a quarter hippie of my
When you start living the life you really like, when you start living on your own terms financially and everything, I'm very sure that's where you end up.
That's the
vibe you
that's
give,
where I come off.
Yeah.
Okay. You, do you want to know how you come off?
Ah, hits me. Okay.
I mean, you come off the way you are.
That's so anticlimactic.
Isaac is funny. Isaac is funny. His jokes. He doesn't take things too seriously.
Yeah, but you know that thing you just said is funny because people think I'm a very serious person.
I mean, you are serious in the sense that like you, how do I put it now? We know when I was saying when we're having that considering query last week, and I was saying that like you're an ambitious person.
It's no longer debatable.
It's a lie.
It's no longer
debatable. It's a lie. You're a very ambitious person. You're ambitious. You're just one of those people. You like to work. It's just your whole thing.
I feel like true.
So yeah, you are a serious person. When you talk about all this money stuff, it's a serious thing for you.
I probably should go back to doing that though. talking a little bit more about money on the pod.
But like, it's not like you're just serious all the time. You're just a cruise guy generally.
Yeah.
You used to be more on the cruise side when you were younger. When you were uni, people would have definitely known that this one is not a serious person.
Oh, facts.
But now you've grown, so you are more a serious man. Yeah,
but the cruise is still there.
You are giving 30 plus now.
Sadly.
You are giving 30 plus now, but you will still know that you still have that cruise mentality, the way you talk, with the way you behave. Isaac is a funny guy, actually.
Wow. Thanks a lot.
Isaac is a funny guy. If you go and watch his videos, you will even know Seth. My YouTube video.
You guys should subscribe to... Oh, actually, let me quickly celebrate. I've crossed 100 YouTube subs.
Hey!
Yeah. Like, it's big. Thank you guys for subscribing. Hey. Yeah, so it's mad. Something I just, started randomly. So, shout out to all of you guys.
I love that for you.
So, subscribe.
Okay, so last one says, hey, hope you guys are good. Mm-hmm. Love the last episode with Curity. I'm glad you do. I tap into that grace.
Mm.
Since we all see a lot of series, I'm recommending these two. So good series. Bear. I've heard about The Bear. I don't really know anything about it.
I've seen it.
But I'm going to watch it on my list.
I have seen that. That is a good show.
Yeah, I'm adding it. It's on my list already.
Yes, chef.
So I'm going to watch it.
Yes,
and the second one is Wheel of Time. I don't know what that is, but I'll probably check it out. I'm also recommending this app called TV Time. It helps you track. You know what? I will use that because I used to use one called, I can't remember what it was called, but I don't know what's wrong with them. It's just weird.
I can't track my TV shows anymore, man.
Why?
I can't, because I just watch one at a time, max two. I started watching Billions, but I had to stop at episode 6.
Do you watch any ones when they come out?
Yeah, like I was doing that with Billions and with Gen V, but I had to stop and just wait for it to pile up because I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the attention span to wait weekly. I'll forget.
Yeah. There are some that I still watch when they come out. Like, for example, Power, the reality shows.
Yeah.
Which other one again do I watch when it comes out? I think probably I don't watch as many like regular. I used to watch Grey's. I'm tired of Grey's. I'm tired. I'm tired of them. So yeah, I think it's only those shows that I really just reality shows and others. I'm just watching from my list and going with that.
Fair. I think I'm a victim of
but
Netflix,
I will check it out again.
That binging thing.
Yeah.
Because now like. Because I binge so many shows, I'll forget what happened in the ones I'm watching weekly. So I just have to pile it up. Billions, the season finale is tomorrow. So I'll now catch up and finish it. So I watched this thing recently, Lupin.
How was it?
I'm sick and tired of his disguises. This is a 6'4" black man that wears a mustache. How do you not know he's the one? Sorry. I feel like I just ranted.
I've heard someone else.
One or two seasons of that is fine. But Dolly, this is a 6'4" black man. Even if he doesn't, like, even if he wears blonde hair, it's the same. You can't hide your build.
Right.
I'm sick of it. It was a good show. But I'm sick of it. It's almost like comedic the way they
do
make it.
They speak French.
Yeah, I watched it in French. I'm one of those guys, I don't like the English versions of
me neither.
It does my head.
I like if I'm to watch a show that has a different language, which I don't do a lot of anyway, but if I were to, I would want to watch it in the way it was because it just there's a way one speaks your language. It's even the emotion is transferred.
Yeah,
that's the dubbed version will not get.
And also even the sometimes the dubbed versions, the voices don't match. I don't know how to explain. Like
it doesn't because they get like somebody else.
Yeah, and not even just that. Sometimes I'm watching a black character and in my head the voice is a white man. It doesn't match up. It's like this movie, is it 360 or something? There's one of those movies.
Is it 365?
365. I think it's a French movie, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know what that movie is.
Something I watched on Netflix that was
Is that the
like,
sex...
Yeah, that was the one. I only read the first one. It was trash. There was something that I watched on Netflix. It was Lupin, actually. So the main guy is black, but when I switched to English, it sounded like a white man in my head, and it just couldn't.
It's possible they even got somebody else. Like I think
it happens sometimes.
They would
get
somebody else as like to voice the role.
It didn't do it for me, man. And years of anime as well. I'd rather just watch and read subtitles.
Yeah,
I can't be asked. Yeah.
All right, so we've listened, we've read everything. The ones that we couldn't will respond.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
I want to talk about something quickly.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was about this whole argument that we usually have about emotional versus logical. I feel like sometimes people want to push, and they say this about, not to start any kind of like gender wars or whatever, but something that I've heard a lot of men say, oh, women are emotional, men are more logical.
I have to say, like, let me put my hands up. Mm. I was a victim of that mindset when I was younger.
Right. Like, I've heard that very much. Or when some people will say, oh, let's look at this from a logical standpoint.
Yes, again, I was a victim of that when
I was younger. Yeah. Let me tell you guys the truth. The truth is that we're emotional people. We are emotional beings. And therapists will tell you that too. We're emotional beings. No, there is no decision we make in life that is coming from a logical standpoint. Mm. Like, it's coming from, what is logical is what is logical to you.
Facts.
So how you feel, facts, as like with how, what you know, what you whatever. So you can make, you can say you want to make a decision. Maybe you know that I should not be with this man again or this girl again because even though I love them, they are bad for me. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's, you are not taking logic out of it. I mean, you're not taking emotion out of it, right? It's still more like in your emotional self, you know that this is bad for my well-being.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like when people say, I hate that distinction so much because I feel like it's,
I think it's removes, patriarchal.
It's patriarchal.
Yeah, I think,
and I also think that it removes people from like just understanding who they are like very well and how like they respond to things.
Yeah.
You, if you understand that you're an emotional person already,
yeah,
there is no, maybe you are seeing somebody crying a lot. That doesn't make the person more emotional than a person that never cries or does not cry.
Mm.
Just because you, the way you, you respond to something, might, maybe you're angry or you sit down. Even when, you know, you can be angry at something, but you might not be shouting or yelling. But no, you're very pissed.
Of course.
You're very angry.
That's me, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
You're very angry. You're fuming.
Yeah.
But you are not shouting. So does now one say that the person that is shouting beside you
is more emotional,
is more angry than you that you're angry? That's not the truth.
Mm.
You know? And so, but when a person looks at it that way, they're not able to fully come to terms with like the acceptance that I am angry right now. That is the way I respond. So I want us to change the way we look at those things. And then when people say stuff like, I've even told Isaac this before, that there's no such thing as open-minded. Like, I feel like there is wanting to like hear and understand. Do you understand? And, you know, see if maybe that can, you can, you're feeling that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
But like, I don't think that anybody comes to the table like without having like a certain level of bias in anything.
I think
in anything.
Should.
That's just, I mean, I think that there is a space where you like are willing to like, you know what? I want to learn.
Yeah.
So I want to hear what this person is saying because you understand that I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And when you understand that like you're a biased person, it's like, yeah, I know I'm biased, but hey, you know what? Let me hear this out. This might even challenge what I have always thought to be true.
Mm.
So there is a way where like you are willing to like, there's willing to learn, willing to listen, willing to like understand a perspective that is different from your own, understanding that you don't know everything and that some things that you might know might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm just... say lie.
A
person that will say that they are not doing that, they are silent. They might be silently judging even in their mind.
I think you should look at it differently. I think the presence of that space is the indication of being open-minded. The fact that somebody is willing to have a space where they are like, listen, I don't know it all, tell me. I think that's...
I guess I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, I think that's... But I guess space, what I would just say is that... The existence of that is being open-minded.
Everybody has like their...
Everybody has their biases.
Everybody has their biases.
I agree.
Everybody has their biases.
I agree totally. And I also agree that...
Everybody has their biases.
Human beings are deeply emotional creatures. We just have a different level of emotional awareness.
We totally are.
Emotional expression. Because even everything, like the more you watch like marketing and the way capitalism is working, we're all deeply emotional and it plays on that. And the most important one that capitalism really feeds on is FOMO. So that's why you see trends and you see people jumping on things, because really and truly, nobody wants to feel like they are missing out.
Exactly. So they are hitting on that emotional aspect.
It's like, oh my God, you're not on trends. Like, what?
Thank you. So when you understand that, I think that it helps you come to a deeper knowledge about yourself and how you even like
how you can respond be manipulated. To
things and how you can manage things. Yeah. So don't think of yourself as, oh, I'm so good. There's nothing wrong in letting out your emotions.
If anything,
you are
that
an emotional
makes you
person.
A little bit more vulnerable.
It does.
When you constantly feel like
it
you're
does. In, yeah. So please, and this is to everybody, both men, both women, allow yourself to like feel your emotions and feel how you feel.
I saw a full video on this. I think it was on the School of Life on YouTube, right, where they spoke about how most people who think they are so in touch sometimes, or they're so what's it called, disciplined and all that, like a lot of the time they are the ones that are easily manipulated, because it's already predicted that you would go against what is given to you. So it's a case of, oh, I feel that A is A, but I know that you're going to counter that. So it makes it easier to present what I don't want to you.
Yeah.
And then you just go off the opposite.
Yeah. I'm sorry, before I go, I just wanted to say something that I learned from, like, I got from, like, this therapist that I was watching, right? She's like a therapist, Sha. She's also a Christian, so she was kind of, like, mentioning too. But I'll just say something that she said about the process of decision-making.
Okay.
And she said, feeling, thinking, knowing, and doing. Mm. She said that people always think that they think first, right? But it's not true. You feel first. So when something happens, or when you have to make a decision about something, there is already a way you are feeling about it. And it is that way you are feeling that now brings up the question. So she says that when a question comes up, so she says thinking is a series of questions we are asking right now.
Okay.
So you want to, I don't know, you want to go out. Man, do I want to go out? Do I have food in my car? Does it make sense for me to go? Like, you're thinking through it. Now, it might not, some things are immediate. So, you know that you wake up, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth. You just kind of like already know, you know. So, but you, so you think first. So, you're feeling a way. Then it leads to you thinking. You're asking questions.
Yeah.
Then it leads to like a knowing. So, there are things that you know in your mind already. You know that, omo, fuel is this amount too. Like, if I say I want to do this one now, this knowledge that I know about how much fuel is, it might not, you know, then it's from that that you now leads to doing.
You know?
So when she said, when you understand the process of how you make a decision, it helps you in, I guess, being more conscious of, like, I guess, decisions that you make. And
that makes sense. There was a documentary I watched about the, about cravings. And this is exactly what I spoke about, how you don't know, like, the way to actually target cravings is to understand why you feel the need to want to eat something at a time. But most people never really go down as to, what was I doing as to why I'm now craving something? They just look at, oh, I'm always craving. But if you look at it, there's a psychological and all those kinds of things.
And that is now tied into the whole emotional thing. Like, because when you understand that you're an emotional being, then you will see how much it plays into every single decision.
Yeah, like, I need to find out, I'll share with you if I find it. It was these guys that they really explained the concept of cravings and the concept of dopamine releases and why, like, apps are now sort of targeted at the fact that all of a sudden, people are no longer comfortable with quiet. It's almost like you feel like something is meant to be happening at all times, and there's a reason for that. But that was
okay,
a good one.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry, you go
Thank
on
you.
To your own.
So the thing I wanted to talk about quickly was off of what we spoke about last week with Korede, which is about money, right? So I was reading a Refinery 29 article, and they spoke about how a lot of people these days are increasingly trying to make friends with people in their tax brackets, right? And it was funny because it's a real thing, right? And I know a lot of us right now, when you feel like, okay, I'm earning a certain amount, I can afford to do this. But with the cost of living, what you can afford to do as spare time stuff is reducing. So the way I'm going at is, people these days are now starting to withdraw from their friendship groups because there is an imbalance in spending power. Now, I just want to talk about it from the sense that, first of all, if it's happening to you, you're not alone, right? But there was also a bigger conversation there about the concept of communicating about money and how much you earn with your friends, right? So this usually comes from a position of two things. One, of fear of, I'm not making enough. And the other fear is, will they still, like, I'm making too much, would they still be able to keep up with the lifestyle? So the article was just talking about how it's very important that if you have friends, keyword friends, not people that you talk to, people that you hang out with, actual friends, right? That you should try to communicate openly about how much you earn.
So yeah, let's definitely like communicate with our friends. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I definitely feel like communication is very important in a relationship. So even with friendship. So you might not, you don't necessarily need to say, oh, this is the exact, if you don't feel like, if you don't feel comfortable to, but I feel like in order to, you don't pretend, like don't act like, you know, you can afford something when you can't, or like, you know, just let them understand that, oh, well, this is where things are. So if you want to do this, maybe we can find something that works for all of us. But I definitely don't feel like it should be the end of, you know, relationships, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So thank you, Isaac.
Yeah, no probs. We've come to the end of this episode, people.
Mm-hmm.
And my song recommendation is, okay, I've been listening to old The Weeknd stuff, and I'm going to go for two songs, right? So the producer I was talking about earlier on the show is this guy called Ilangelo, right?
Ilangelo.
Yeah, like check him out on Instagram. It's crazy. Ilangelo.
Mm-hmm.
And the song recommendations, The Zone by The Weeknd featuring Drake. That's mm-hmm. old school.
Ooh.
And Losers by The Weeknd, and I think it was Labyrinth.
Okay, so Popo Dipo by Rick Hassani featuring Waje. And the last one is You Know My Name by Tasha Cobbs Leonard featuring Jim Cavi. Sorry, let me see his name again. By featuring Jimmy Cravity.
Not Jimmy Cravitz.
Jimmy Cravity, J-I-M-I space Cravity, C-R-A-V-I-T-Y.
Okay. On that note, guys, follow, like, share everywhere that you listen to the podcast. Yes. And yeah.
Yeah, sign up for our newsletter. We have our playlist on Apple Music and Spotify Radio 30. And you can thank you for everybody who sent us a message on our forms. And please, you can send us a message whenever you feel like, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We love you.
Yeah, we'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah.
Bye.